its management, or its sponsors. The host is solely responsible for its content. Enjoy.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure...
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good afternoon, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my lovely brother, Jeff.
I am lovely.
You're lovely.
I am lovely.
You're wearing a beautiful dress.
Stop. I'm wearing a dress, Fred, but I do have long pants on.
Well, I bicycled here. You know, George Jensen, who is a friend of the show.
We love George Jensen.
He does our website. And
he's probably wearing a dress right now.
He probably is. but he is the webmaster for the Fred and Jeff Show. He takes care of our web needs. And if you need somebody to help you out, check out jensenconsulting.com. But he and I went on a bike ride last night.
You know, down, I like that was down, very good the way you did that.
Down the Santa Cruz River Path.
Yeah.
Probably did about 18 miles total. And, you know, it was dark. We did it at night. And we're running down the path, and there's like what looks like a white twig in the road.
Yeah.
And I go over it, bump, and all of a sudden rattles go off.
No way.
Yeah.
You ran over a rattlesnake?
I ran over a rattlesnake, and then we kept on going. We came back, and it was gone. So we figured that it must have been fine with me rolling over it. But it's
out there looking for you.
It's looking for me. Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, our indigenous creatures, they're trying to keep warm, and where else better but a nice black...
But under your bike tire.
Under my bike tire, and on a nice black piece of asphalt.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. So I biked here this afternoon, and it was a great ride. The 3rd Street bike path is just phenomenal.
Now, is it true that Tucson has more bike paths than any other city in the United States?
I don't know if it's more, but I think maybe per capita. But we have a fairly extensive bicycle infrastructure.
And you're taking advantage of it fully.
Absolutely. And I was thinking about it the other day. You know, actually... The infrastructure's existed for a long time. I mean, I'm not going to take credit for it. But while I was on the council, I put some enhancements in, some Pelicans and these light devices that allow bicyclists to travel through major intersections safely.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was enjoying the fruits of my labor in some way.
All right. So, folks, thanks for tuning into the Fred and Jeff Show. And our show would not be possible without the dollars that our sponsors give us to come on here once a week and talk to your neighbors here in Tucson, and they include Anthony Cigar Emporium, Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, H&S Estate Gardening, our buddies the Cohen Brothers over at Mayfield Florist, Monkey Burger, Power Women Investing, the Tucson Roller Derby.
We love those ladies.
Ackerley at home. I'm not done, Fred.
Okay.
Ackerley Advertising and your friends at Ronstadt Insurance.
And they are your friends.
And we are your friends. You know, it's still... It's still a Medicare open enrollment. It just started. So if you know anybody out there that needs some help, they're confused about their Medicare policy, have them give us a call, 721-4848.
And people could get very confused with that stuff.
It is very confusing. And it gets more confusing.
And you make it all simple.
We try. Yeah, I think we do a good job. Jill and Dad over at the office, they do a great job helping people out.
Now, we are going to be giving a dozen roses away from Mayfield. And... You know, usually we wait until, you know, our main guest comes on and they start talking about whatever they're going to talk about, and we come up with a question from that. But we're going to go from point A to point B today. So anything that's on the show today is game for a question for the roses from Mayfield Forest. So, you know, the fact that I rolled over a rattlesnake last night to, you know, whatever we end up talking about at the very end. Which is pretty random at this point.
All right, so the third caller at 5.
Yeah, right. Okay, so we got our typical house cleaning. Christian Youth Theater is doing a production of Beauty and the Beast. Now, last year they did Willy Wonka.
Right.
At the Fox Theater. This year they're doing Beauty and the Beast. And this is a phenomenal group of people. They're kids. It's like high school kids and below.
Right. You have to be 8 years old. So it's 8 years old to high school.
18.
To 18. 8 to 18.
8
right.
to 18. And these guys put on professional productions.
Yes, they do.
This is no exception. It's Beauty and the Beast. It's actually a Pima Community College Center for the Arts. And I can't remember which campus that is. I think it's the West Campus.
It is West Campus.
And it's going to include all of the classic songs from the animated feature, plus a couple extra songs written by Alan Menken and Howard Ashman. and Howard and Mr. Macon and Tim Rice. So if you love Beauty and the Beast, or Beauty and the Beast, there's going to be, you know, you get to enjoy that plus a couple extra songs. And that's running through October 30th. And if you want to get more information, tickets, et cetera, you go to www.cyttucson.org. That's cyttucson.org. And you can check out the performance schedule and purchase tickets. Also, coming up on November 5th, about a week away, 2 weeks away, is at Our Mother of Sorrows Church, is a community resource fair. Now, you know, we all know that the economy really is in a pinch right now. And, you know, there's, you know, so the folks over at Our Mother of Sorrows Church have put on this, or are going to put on this community resource fair. There's going to be educational information, learning about new careers, how to prevent foreclosures, obtaining healthcare information, and all sorts of stuff. Child care is going to be provided for free. The attendance is free. And Our Mother of Sorrows is over on South Kolb, a little bit south of 22nd Street. It's November 5th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., 1800 South Kolb Road. And feel free to call Our Mother of Sorrows for more information. Now, here's something that's really cool. We've talked about this before. Next year is Arizona Centennial.
Right.
February 14th.
Is the birthday.
And there's all sorts of little cool things happening across the across the state.
You know what else is happening on February 14th?
Your lovely wife's birthday?
That's correct.
Okay. There are all sorts of cool
You know what else is happening on February 14th?
A couple days after your daughter's birthday?
That is correct.
Okay.
You know what else is on February 14th?
What?
Valentine's Day.
Oh, is that why we're called the Valentine's State?
Maybe.
Oh.
That could be a trivia question.
That was a past trivia question.
That was. Did
maybe we'll do a retread.
There's too much to talk about today to do a retread.
All right. So here's a cool event. The Union Pacific is bringing a steam locomotive through the state. Now, this has not happened since the country's bicentennial in 1976. It's going to be a big, you know, hoopla. So
when is that happening?
In Tucson, they're going to stop in Tucson November 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Great.
But they're going to have whistle stops across the state. And this is cool because, you know, when you look at trains on the rails today, they're primarily diesel. And I would say probably almost 99.99% diesel. So this is going to be a fun activity. An old Union Pacific steam locomotive is coming through the state to celebrate our country's centennial. And let's see, two last things. On November 13th, actually, I do shoot this first. November 6th, which is coming up first, is the All Souls Procession.
And the All Souls Procession is outstanding. As a matter of fact, if you go to our website, fredandjeff.com, last year we did an interview with Fonda Isley.
Yeah.
Who's one of the organizers of the All Souls Procession, and it was great. I mean, so you can go back and listen to what they had cooking last year and just know that this year it's going to be a lot better.
Yeah, and actually it's going to be a lot longer. They're going to start at 4th Avenue and University. They're going to go 4th Avenue to Congress and then all the way west to the Mercado. So that's a huge procession. And believe me, it's not going to be an issue for anybody because people pile up. I think it's going to be a lot more fun because people are going to be able to spread out a little bit and really enjoy the event. And that's on November 6th. Show up at 4th University in your best costume. Or, you know, this is a total participatory thing where you just show up in whatever you're wearing. If you want to wear makeup and costumes and what have you, you can. But if you just want to be in the procession, they love to have you participate. They look at it not so much as a viewing event as it is a participatory event.
Right, and there'll be thousands of people out there.
Tens of thousands.
Yeah,
millions of thousounds.
Go millions of thousands. Yeah. Good friend.
All right, the last thing, sensational settings. Our friends at St. Luke's Home for the Seniors, they're doing their annual sensational settings benefiting St. Luke's. It's at the JCC, the Jewish Community Center, and that's on November 13th. Mark your calendars. If you want any more information, call St. Luke's Director of Development. Her number is 624-5034.
What's her name?
You know,
stump the panel. You don't.
Yeah,
know.
You did stump the panel because our contact is not the development director.
So, Fred, who is our contact?
Chrissy Spencer.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, but she's got a design company that she does. She's a volunteer over at St. Luke's.
Very cool.
So, call St. Luke's. Tell them that the friend Jeff sent you.
And the last house cleaning.
Well, yeah, it's a little more than house cleaning. This is like the big mega event at the end of the month. And actually, it's usually at the beginning of November. So we got a little bit of date change. But this Friday, get Tums and Pepto-Bismol ready because it is the Tucson
and lots of milk.
Yeah, the Tucson Firefighters Chili Cook-Off, the 60th annual. And with us to talk about it is Sloan Tamietti from the Tucson Fire Department. Tucson Fire Department, how you doing, Sloan?
I'm doing well, thank you. And yourself?
Oh, very nice.
We're doing good.
We love that voice.
Sorry.
No, that's a good radio voice, Sloan.
It goes with my face.
So tell us about the big event.
Well, actually, this will be our 16th annual Chili Cook-Off. It's actually October 28th, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. It's our big fundraiser for our adoptive family program. And then with that program, we actually take 100% of the proceeds and give it back to the city of Tucson, actually the needy families. We get names from different schools or different organizations that find out what kids need, you know, for the Christmas season and also for Thanksgiving. Last year, we were able to give 1,800 food boxes out. What we do is make a Thanksgiving meal, basically, turkey, mashed potatoes, you know, pumpkin pie. We make a bunch of baskets, and we deliver them on Thanksgiving Day and also on Christmas. And during that time, we also collect, you know, from these schools, like little letters to Santa, what these kids want for Christmas.
That's great.
Yeah, and we go through and actually did 350 presents last year. And the number one thing that the kids ask for in the years is actually a blanket and, like, pillows.
Wow.
And so we actually get, like, an outfit for the kids and, like, a blanket, pillows, and actually, like, a toy kind of to fit their age group. But our event actually holds – last year, I think we did over 10,000 people.
Wow.
We raised $62,000. And another good part is we actually – in the cancer center, they have the sick kids during Christmas Day. We take ladder one down from downtown, ladder the building, have Santa Claus – kind of creep up the side of the building.
Oh, that's very cool.
And we have him deliver gifts to the kids on Christmas Day.
Good for you guys.
It's our big fundraiser for here to us, give back to the community, because we all realize, I mean, I'm born and raised here in Tucson. A majority of our people who work for Tucson are Tucson natives.
Most of the Tucson firefighters are Tucson natives?
Yeah, a lot of them are actually come here from Tucson and live within the city limits.
How many firefighters are second generation now?
Just from my family, actually, my father is a captain for Tucson Fire. My brother's an engineer, and I had 14 other family members, like either engineers, captains, and those are just uncles and cousins. So,
all right, that's
my family
great.
Is a big part of this department, and so this event I've been involved in since I, you know,
you could walk
since I was I could walk.
16,
high school.
Good for you, man. That's great.
No. So it's a lot, and nobody gets paid anything. So 100% of our proceeds actually go back to the city of Tucson. It gives us a chance to give back to the people that, you know, we get to serve on a daily basis.
That's great.
Now, this is some serious business because, you know, there's a lot of pride on the line here. And these chilies are all judged. And I'm going to be on one of the judging panels. It's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, Fred's going to help us out. We actually do judge on, like, the hottest chili, best chili. And then we actually do decorate our booths. Everybody gets a little wild. So,
how many chilies will you have out there?
We will actually have 32 booths this year. And I believe a few of them we're going to do, like, you know, nachos and, like, chili dogs. So I think there's going to be actually 28 chilies.
All right.
For us to try.
And so that's 28 people that Fred has the opportunity to get bought off by.
Yeah. And I've already given my donation for Fred to make sure my team wins.
And Station One, which Sloan, you're based out of, they got a shining reputation, not only for award-winning chili, but their booth is, like, spectacular single year.
Was this Freddie Bear and Ken Ramsden? Those guys are down at Station One?
Jeff Huber.
Okay.
But Jeff, unfortunately, retired from the fire department, so we're trying to live on his legacy. So we're going to have a pretty big booth this year to try and keep up with Fred. But the other departments, because we actually do not just – we have 16 TFD teams this year, but we also have Golden Ranch, Northwest Fire, Drexel Heights, University Medical Center is doing one. So we have quite a few of the actual, you know, other departments in Pima County participating, and they all come with – a good booth looking to kind of win that prize of best spirit and, you know, best booth.
All right. Is there anybody that you want to say thank you to for the event?
Before you do, I just want to mention the Fred rule, because the Ward 6 office entered 1 year and we took first place and we were never invited back again. They said, no, it has to be fire departments. You guys can't participate anymore. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, honestly, I'd like to think our biggest sponsors are going to be Chase, Tucson El Pueblo Credit Union gives us a lot of money. And also,
that's my bank.
Yeah.
All right. I love Topco.
Yep. Topco. Budweiser does a really good job with us. And a couple small local ones, Nova Home Loans, obviously, give us some. Bushi Sushi.
Bushi Sushi.
Yeah.
Ooh, Bushi's good.
Just down the road.
All right.
Barnett Propane and Canyon Fence and University Medical Center also.
All right. Sweet. That's awesome.
Well, Sloan, thanks a lot.
And good luck.
Oh, thank you guys very much for having me.
And that's this Friday, the 28th, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. at El Presidio Park. So on the other side of the break, we're going to have our happy guest for the show, and we're going to be talking guitars.
Guitars, baby. So we'll see you on the other side.
Top of mind awareness is when people think of your company, your product, or your service first to fulfill their needs. One of the most effective ways for your business or organization to achieve top of mind awareness is through radio advertising. Ackerley Advertising has over 40 years' experience in the advertising field. As creative advertising practitioners, Ackerley Advertising is in the idea business. Creative energy centers on breakthrough ideas that build and maintain strong relationships. These ideas are developed by Ackerley Advertising through research and managed from conception, implementation, to post-campaign evaluation. Call Ackerley Advertising today to achieve top-of-mind awareness for your business. Visit AckerleyAdvertising.com or call 546-9707. Ackerley Advertising is all about big ideas. Call today, 546-9707.
Hi, I'm Jim Ronstadt. Over 100 years ago, my grandfather established Ronstadt Hardware in the heart of the Old Pueblo. The Ronstadts were a pioneer family during the growth of a fledgling city, and his store was founded on hard work, craftsmanship, and good service.
This is Jeff Ronstadt, and I am proud to carry on the family tradition with my dad at Ronstadt Insurance. In these trying economic times, you may have many questions about your health care and what's on the horizon. You may be asking questions like, how do I enroll in a Medicare plan and how much will it cost? Are my prescription drugs covered? And what will my out-of-pocket cost be?
If you are confused about Medicare, call us at 721-4848 and we will help you make a confident decision about your Medicare benefits. We are insurance agents licensed by the state of Arizona and we would be honored to assist you.
That's Ronstadt Insurance. Call us at 721-4848. We are pioneers in good service.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we have some more house cleaning because during the break, before the break, our friend George Jensen texted me and reminded me that his web address is not what we said. It is georgejenson.com. George, JENSON.com. He is a brilliant web dude, so we suggest to use him. The other house cleaning I know is, and I just have to do a thank you, a shout out to a friend, P.S., for doing the intro to the program and for doing our cutback ends. Go to fredandjeff.com and enjoy all the shows. So with us today are some fun people. Now, we had you guys on about a year ago when we were talking about the Metropolis opening at the University of Arizona Museum of Art. And in studio with us is Charlie.
Yeah.
Gurent. Yeah, I'm not.
Fred is the worst.
I am the worst at all this.
He's the worst name person in the world.
Yes.
Gurent. You know, I look at your name and I just can't say it right.
You know, Fred, we've known each other for
years. I know we have. It's crazy because it's the same thing with Tamara Mac from Salvation Army. I can never get her name right.
Well, you did good just now.
Well, thank you. So Charlie's here with us, and also joining us is Dwayne Waterman. Now, Dwayne, we're going to talk to Dwayne in a minute, but we're going to talk to you, Charlie, up front real quick. How did the exhibit go? With Metropolis,
it was great. It was really a really unique opportunity to look at that great film, and then to look at works of art that have been inspired by that period of time, and it was really super well attended.
I remember when I was at the U of A, and I took a class on film,
mm-hmm.
and the most of the semester was about that movie Metropolis.
Yeah.
And the imagery and everything that was going on during that time frame, it was amazing. It's an amazing movie.
It was a real icon, and you know, it was very influential. And what we tried to do in that show was to show other works of art that were influenced by that film, and by that period of time and that sort of Art Deco, Art Nouveau kind of thing. It was really wonderful.
Yes, and it was an amazing movie.
Rave reviews for the piece.
Yeah.
Yes.
And now you've got a new exhibit coming up.
Yes, this one this one's totally different. This is the first time we've really taken a look at a form of art that people don't often think of as art, but to us it very much is. And that's the making of guitars, which are wonderful instruments, but they're incredibly complex and complicated wooden constructions. And strangely or interestingly, there are a number of guitar makers in Tucson, and so we decided to put together an exhibition that looked at the history of guitar making. We go back to 1590, the first and the oldest known guitar, documented guitar, up to people like Dwayne sitting next to me, who builds guitars, and you know, the guitar in his that he put in the show is brand new. So we've got everything in between, and we have classical guitars and steel top guitars and electric guitars.
Charlie, where's this guitar from the 1500s? Where was that made?
It's actually Portuguese.
A Portuguese guitar.
It's a Portuguese guitar.
And what year was that?
1590. Yeah. So is one of those original Portuguese guitars going to be on display at the museum?
Yes, it is. The one in the show is the oldest documented full-size guitar in the world.
We only have a couple minutes before the break, but can you tell us more about this guitar? I mean, where did it come from?
Well, it came from a collection in Mesa. And in terms of the guitar itself, Dwayne could probably tell you a lot more about the instrument than I can.
Dwayne shaking his head no.
No.
I know the instrument, but I don't know, let's say, the people who've owned it along the way or that kind of thing.
Is it a six-string guitar?
No. Back at that time, it's an early Baroque instrument, so it has 10 strings, but it's actually five courses of double strings, which is the way most guitars were made until about the turn of the early 19th century, where single strings to represent those strings, six strings on a guitar, actually became more established.
Okay.
So that is this Belcher Diaz guitar is a really beautiful guitar. I know
that's what it's called, the Belcher Diaz guitar?
Well, that's the guy, that's the builder's name, Belcher Diaz.
Yeah. Okay.
It was in several other collections, and it's in international books, before it was acquired, you know, the last 10 years or so by the teacher in Phoenix.
That's great.
It's well known in the guitar world,
and now people can come down and see it.
It's a jewel.
Was this sort of a evolutionary step from like a lute, or where did it come from?
Lutes and guitars generally have the same roots, but not necessarily. Lute probably formed from the oud, which is a Middle Eastern instrument. So you can see it's right there in the Mediterranean. So it came up into, obviously, when the Moors were in Spain,
there
was an influence there. And ouds were more well-known in Southern Europe. They evolved into what would be lutes. But guitars didn't. Guitars really formed, you know, kind of on a separate little branch. And so they really are separate.
Very cool. So we're going to be back. We've got to take the break for the bottom of the hour news, but we're going to be back with Charlie and Dwayne and more about guitars in Southern Arizona.
And we're going to listen to a guitar player, Mr. Mocos.
Tied a sweater around his neck, and now he barbecues out on the deck. I can't believe that.
CNN Radio. I'm Barbara Hall. Republican presidential candidate Rick Perry today unveiled his 20% flat tax plan, saying it would provide Americans with a simple way to opt out of the current income tax system.
You can file your taxes on this postcard with the deductions on there for interest on your mortgage, your charitable giving, your state and local taxes, and then deduct those and send it in.
Critics say it would unfairly burden the middle class. Forecasters are warning that Hurricane Rina could hit the popular Mexican resort city of Cancun. It's expected to become a major Category 3 hurricane by Wednesday.
A federal panel today said the HPV vaccine that's recommended for 11 and 12-year-old girls should now be given to boys, too. The human papillomavirus is blamed for thousands of cases of cancer each year. This is CNN Radio.
With over 900,000 products and 31 product categories, some people would say Grainger has everything but the kitchen sink. Of course, those people would be wrong, because sinks are among the over 900,000 products Grainger offers to help keep your business up and running, along with belt sanders, baseboard heaters, duct tape, tissue paper, reversible air drills, and, well, you get the idea, most everything. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
500 new business cards. That's 500 first impressions.
At Staples, we know your business printing is important.
30 copies of a killer proposal. 30 yeses to a career-changing deal.
So Staples certified print pros make sure it's perfect.
One new store sign, thousands of new shoppers.
Great business printing can be the difference between making a sale and missing one. Right now, get 30% off any copy and print orders of $30 or more. Visit staples.com or text Staples to 84444. Offer ends 11/12. Staples, that was easy.
The Home Depot has made a special buy. Right now, Sylvania 60-watt Double Life 8-packs of incandescent bulbs are only $3.97 each. That works out to less than 50 cents a bulb, which also works out nicely for your wallet. So come in, stock up, and save on Sylvania 60-watt Double Life 8-packs right now, only $3.97 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only 57-watt bulbs in California.
You could win big with Wolverine's Backyard Bonanza Sweepstakes. I'm Jason Cameron, licensed contractor and TV host. If you're like me, you love being outdoors. Now is your chance to win the ultimate backyard. I'm talking about a stainless gas grill, fire pit, furniture, the works. Enter for a chance to win now at Wolverine.com. The Wolverine Backyard Bonanza.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal residents of the 50 United States and D.C. 18 or older with a valid email address. Visit Wolverine.com by November 30th, 2011 for official rules, price details, and instructions to enter. Void where prohibited.
At Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that'll exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
Power Women Investing, an award-winning comprehensive financial services firm, offers customized programs designed to help grow and conserve your wealth. We encourage you to explore our website at powerwomeninvesting.com and learn more about the services we provide. If you would like to make an appointment, call us at 571-9053. That's 571-9053.
And welcome back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother, Jeff, and in studio with us are the heroes from the University of Arizona Museum of Art.
Charlie Guerin and Dwayne Waterman.
Thank you very much.
Charlie, during the break, we were just chatting a little bit about You're the executive director of the University of Arizona Museum of Art.
Yes.
And you've been doing that for how long?
I've been a director here for 11 years.
Where were you before Tucson?
I was at the University of Wyoming, where I was a director for 14 years and built a major museum facility for them.
All right. So when you came to Tucson 11 years ago, what did you inherit?
Nothing. I shouldn't say that. I inherited a wonderful museum with a wonderful collection that needs a new building, too. And so that's one of the things that we've been working at for, you know, a decade, is working towards building a new museum for the University of Arizona. And we'll get there.
How's it coming along?
We're about to launch a new capital campaign at the university, and the new building is in that campaign.
Great.
So we have to raise the money.
Sure.
It is a wonderful collection. And if people want to go there, students and faculty, I think, can get in free, but it's really nominal cost to get in and really enjoy.
It's $5 to get in, and anybody that has a military ID or a student ID or a CAT card of any kind gets in free, and then the public, it's only $5. It's very, very minimal for a museum.
And it's a beautiful collection.
It's an amazing collection. It's one of the best collections in the West.
Now, earlier we were talking about this rock and roll theme, mm-hmm. and you've got some other museums in Tucson that are doing rock and roll as well as you guys.
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the Tucson Museum of Art is doing a thing called Who Shot Rock and Roll, which is an exhibition that they brought in, I believe, from the Brooklyn Art Museum, and it's photographs of photographers who do rock and roll. And then we're doing our guitar exhibition, and I know Etherton Gallery is doing an exhibition of photographs of a photographer, or a couple of photographers that have shot rock and roll stars. So I'm not cognizant of what everybody has done. But
there's
a lot. There's like 14 different entities that have jumped onto this Tucson Rocks theme, and it's been really cool. We like doing collaborative things. We like working within the community. We did a big collaboration on glass, contemporary glass, earlier this year.
Philibom was really involved with that.
Philibom was the instigator of that one, and TMA did a big show. We did a big show, and a lot of the other galleries did glass. And you know, this is a town where the arts, we all know each other, we all like each other,
right.
We all work together, and when we find a big theme that we can work on, we try to put it together.
And collaborating makes things so much
absolutely,
better.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So much better.
It's really a good sense of the community that we all have.
So tell us, how you're the curator of this show as well,
yeah.
as being the executive director.
Yes, I came up with this crazy idea and put it together, and it was really a lot of fun to do.
How'd you do it? How do you put a great idea like this together and make it such a fabulous show? How did you do that?
Well, the trick was really finding the instruments, and the key initially was Jim Greenberg, who's a member of our faculty at the university, who has a company called Zavalita Guitars, and Jim sells and collects vintage guitars. And so Jim was kind enough to share with us about 25 instruments from his permanent collection. So that was the foundation. And through Jim and through some other people that I met in the guitar stores and so forth, I came to recognize that there were a dozen or so really fine instrument makers that I could get the names of. I'm sure there's more.
Here locally.
And I visited every studio of these, the nine that we have in the exhibition. And every one of them just did extraordinary work. And so we invited each one to put a representative number of guitars in the exhibition. And some have one, some have three or four. Just
wow.
Depends upon what they happen to have. And all of these folks, really with the exception of one, make their living or part of their livings building and selling guitars. So sometimes they don't have a lot of guitars in stock because the point is to sell them.
To make a buck, yeah.
Did anybody make one specifically for the show?
Yeah. Brian Dunn, who's one of the guitar makers, finished a piece just the other day. In fact, he said, can I bring it in at the last minute because I need to let the lacquer dry so I can buff it? So it came in the morning that the show opened. And several others really did you did a piece specifically for this show and
you're talking about Dwayne Waterman.
Dwayne did.
Table. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just about everybody did something special for this show.
It's amazing that the guitar is such an iconic piece of America. It represents so many different things in America. You can look at in any city in the country, there'll be a guitar in a billboard. Mm-hmm. There'll be a guitar in a restaurant. I mean, everywhere you turn, there's a guitar.
Yeah.
And nowhere else in the world is it quite like that, like it is here in the United States.
Yeah. And it runs such a gamut, I mean, across the board of all types of music.
Yeah, and when you say guitar, people think everything from Elvis to Clapton to name
classical.
It. Yeah, classical guitar. Yeah. It's amazing. So you had tons of material that you had to kind of squeeze down into how many guitars are in the show.
There are 62 guitars in the show.
62?
Yeah. And so we really had to hone it down conceptually, and really it came down to we wanted to show nothing but handmade, custom-made guitars. So there's only actually one factory-made guitar in the show, and that's a thing called the frying pan, which is the first electric guitar ever made. It was made in 1931, and so that's the only factory-made guitar, but it's really not. It's really a custom limited edition. I think there were 300 and some made.
Wow.
And that's the oldest. And it's a cast aluminum, essentially a lap guitar that would have been used for playing Hawaiian guitar music.
So
in the show too.
So when you call people up, say, hey, this is Charlie from the University of Arizona Museum of Art, and we really would like to have your guitar in our exhibit. Are people like, who is this? Is this my brother Bob? Who is this calling me? I mean, do they take you seriously? I mean,
because I tell them what we're doing, and I say, I understand you make guitars, and could I come over and take a look?
And did everyone just welcome you with open arms?
Yeah.
This sounds great.
Yeah. It's a great way to promote their instruments.
That's awesome.
You know,
do you have any iconic instruments that, you know, were played by so-and-so in the collection?
You know, I could not tell you how many of those instruments have probably been paid by major artists, but that really isn't the
that's
focus
not
of the show.
Yeah, that's not the focus. Yeah.
So, you know, I can't imagine how many really famous people have played some of those instruments, because some of them are made by the world's most important guitar makers.
It's interesting, too, because, you know, our family is a little bit musical, and we understand the history of instruments, and it's true. It means somebody may. I mean, there's like you know, Paul McCartney's bass is like an iconic instrument.
Right.
But there are a lot of musicians who trade their instruments, you know, between each other. And you know, one of our cousins has a cello that's, you know, 300 years old, and these things, you know, have their own histories. It's interesting to see if there's sort of like some notation about who's touched these things and worked them.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to that, but I can't imagine that some of these instruments that are 100 or 200 or 300 years old haven't been passed down from great guitar player to great guitar player.
So. What's the most exotic material in the guitars that you've seen? I mean, you've got the frying pan that's made out of cast
aluminum. Most of them, you know, the some of them have really exotic woods. Particularly, some of the electric guitars have very exotic figured wood. But even the classical guitars, you know, all of the backs for most of them are rosewood. The fingerboards are rosewood. There's a lot of exotic materials, and the soundboards and things are, you know, from exotic trees. There's one tree which Duane could probably tell you about that is the grandfather of a gazillion classical guitars.
That's cool. So last question, then we got to take a quick break. The last break of the show, how are you displaying them? Are they being displayed so you can see 360 degrees all the way around?
Unfortunately, there's only one that you can see completely in the round. The others are displayed on the wall, but out from the wall and at an angle. So if you crane your neck around, you can see the back. But the key was we had to hang them on the wall, and we had to put a guardrail in front because we didn't want people, you know, it's an instrument that's made to be played, so we didn't want people reaching up and strumming the guitars.
Oh, yeah. So that would be bad.
So the only way to do that, and it was impossible to put each one in a glass case.
Sure.
So we did it that way.
Oh, they must be fabulous. Okay, we got to take one last break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Duane Waterman about making a guitar. So stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Do you suffer from irrigation leaks? a broken sprinkler, leaky valves, or you just can't find the problem. At H&S Garden, we provide high-quality, reliable service at reasonable prices. Our repair technician has over 25 years of experience. And if you hate pulling weeds, raking mesquite beans, or trimming those thorny bushes, just leave the dirty work to us. We're licensed contractors with 30 years of experience in landscape management. Our crews are professional and take pride in their work. We'll meet you on site to establish a program that works for you. Call today at 293-6488 or visit us at hsgarden.com. H&S Garden, a family-owned and operated Tucson small business.
What's a monkey burger?
A simple, well-made burger, cooked to your choice.
Why monkey burger?
We called it that because come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway in Craycroft and park in front of Monkey Burger.
And welcome back. This is Fred Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
How you doing, Tucson? And we are here with Charlie Guerin and Dwayne Waterman. Charlie, you're the executive director of the University of Arizona Museum of Art. And Dwayne, you are a craftsman, a guitar maker.
Yes.
And real quick, before we get to you, Dwayne, there are two things that we haven't talked about yet that we want to talk about. The new guitar exhibit at the museum. And that's number one, that folks, you can go and download the music played by these guitars onto your iPod. And when you're walking around looking at the guitars, you can actually listen to them being played.
Yes. It's the first time we've used this technology where you can actually use your smartphone to scan a tag, and it'll send you to iTunes where you can actually listen to the vintage guitars have been recorded.
Sweet.
The contemporary guitars have not, but the vintage guitars have all been recorded.
That's great. And then the last thing you wanted to say was
We want you all come to the opening. The opening is this coming Friday from 5 to 7, and I think you'll have an amazingly neat evening. We're going to have people actually playing guitars in one of the galleries, and
no tubas. No tubas, no trumpets.
No tubas, no trumpets.
All guitars.
Just guitars.
Go have some chili and then come over and see the guitars.
That's right.
So, Dwayne, how long have you been making guitars?
I've been making guitars since 1973, pretty much all my adult life.
And tell us about the guitar you made and put in the exhibit.
I did something a little bit different than some of the other makers did. I actually have an instrument that I made over 30 years ago. Like my 13th instrument built back, I think, in 75 or so. So I display it right next to a guitar that's actually made about a year ago. And the difference in them is pretty dramatic. And that's really what I'm challenging the observer to do, is to see what 35 years of development of a craftsman or an engineer artist can be, because you can actually see it.
Well, let me ask you a question, though. If you tried to make the same guitar 30 years apart, would the guitar that's 30 years older sound different from the brand new guitar?
Well, they're not. It's not the same guitar. It was just a representative guitar of that time, and the new one. Yeah, it's amazing. That earlier one does sound pretty good. But it was a particular type. I made it as a kind of a folk strumming instrument, which is a type of instrument that's really not that popular now. It was back then, you know, the folk kind of thing. You
sure.
may remember that Peter, Paul, and Mary, there was a guitar, steel string guitar and a nylon string guitar played. And so that was nylon string guitars were used for folk in the 60s and whatever. They pretty much had fallen out of style. So that particular one was made as just a basic strumming instrument, and the one that I actually have next to it that's more modern is a steel string guitar made in Brazilian rosewood with all ebony trim, bright white top, and it has a cosmetic or a design motif that's definitely unique and is a far evolution from what the earlier instrument was. The earlier instrument's very simple. In other words, it actually shows what I wanted to show, which was really the way a maker, using myself as the example there, develops over time. So I offer them a 30-year glimpse of what a craftsman can evolve, you know, in that amount of
now,
time.
Now, what do you mean design motif? What does that mean?
Just the way it looks, the trim, the decorative things that are on it, the way it looks, the shape of everything, the cosmetic choices. You know, I'll challenge you to go see them.
Absolutely.
And actually, I would, the audience should know, this is the kind of this exhibition is unique. It is something that even guitar makers don't get a chance to see. So to walk into a building to find 60 instruments like this, believe me, anybody would be entertained, a musician or not, or someone who appreciates art in other forms would certainly appreciate it. It's a kind of an opportunity that you're just not going to get. So I'll basically invite as many people, you know, in this listening audience to come see this. It's and I'll tell them they will walk away with a knowledge and entertainment that they hadn't planned on unless they are musicians and know what they're getting into.
Oh, that's very cool.
Now, are there like trade secrets like the Stradivarius that was, you know, the special lacquer or whatever that made a Stradivarius special?
Well, so, you know, all musical instrument makers like other science or designers or engineers would like to find that quick step up, you know, that quick rewards for whatever. But what I found personally is that really it takes a long, long, hard, conscious work, decades, for musical instrument makers to reach a level. You really have to have that kind of commitment, and the rewards and the things you learn are cumulative, but they're subtle and small.
Believe me,
I was like that, and I've been approached, you know, constantly for 30 years for younger builders. You know, what's the secret? What should I do? What should I do? I basically say, you got to just make them, and that's the secret.
So, is there some sort of apprenticeship that younger makers go through, or
not in our country? There are a couple of schools, and I put that in quotes because they're more like trade schools. There's a couple. There's one in Phoenix actually that takes students on for a year or so, and in that amount of time, they build a couple of instruments. And some of those people have gone around the country and developed businesses that are doing real well now. Each class has 20 to 30 people in it, and so there are some things like that. True apprenticeships are hard to find. Like you and I discussed earlier, self-employment and in art and craft is a challenging
it's
life.
It's hard, yeah, it's hard.
And so in that challenging life, it's hard to take on someone else unless they really can help and produce. And usually apprenticeships aren't like that. It's mostly going out from the master or the teacher. In our society, it really hasn't taken off, the apprenticeship style training.
So it's a very singular.
It certainly is
lifestyle.
It certainly
creating
is.
So, in this is the thing that I've always tried to understand. You know, Fred and I can build shelves. We can build, you know, cabinets. We can do all stuff like
that. We're pretty good at it.
Yeah, we're pretty handy guys. But to actually build something that carries a certain tone.
Well, that's the challenge for
that
us.
That is the challenge.
No, that's the challenge.
How
actually,
do you,
it's a.
And how do you. Oh,
there is some engineering. There's some acoustic engineering.
Sure.
There is. There certainly is a long, hard development of fine craft to make a fine musical instrument, guitars we're talking about today. And believe me, theories abound, and there's a lot of different schools of thought about different ways to do the work or the kind of sound to go for. And that's an active discussion out in the guitar making crowd.
Well,
things aren't settled, you know.
And we're talking to Dwayne Waterman right now. He's a local guitar maker here
yes.
in Tucson. Dwayne, what's your theory on the sound of a guitar?
All makers say the same thing. So I'll just follow the path.
Okay.
We want musical instruments that can be heard, have a beautiful tone, a useful musical instrument, a useful tool that does everything, let's say, the musician is looking for, to go like the pianoforte, to be loud, to be soft, to be subtle, to be sweet, to be play easy, to be easy on the hands as well. If you're going to play it hours and hours and hours, it's got to play easily as well. And then what I also recognize is they've got to be attractive. I mean, for someone to really want to just pick it up and start playing, it can't just be a carved branch here and tell them, look, this sounds great, play it. It'll never happen. So, you know, the craft kind of shows on the outside that way. It's kind of the first key you have to the instrument. You
now, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
I imagine some, you know, artists have come to you and said, hey, Dwayne, I want a guitar and I want it to maybe sound this way or look this way. When you sit down with a musician and sort of, you know, talk about what that instrument's finally gonna what does that dialogue look like?
It's much, much easier if they said, I played Fred's guitar and I really like it. Can I have one like that? Because I really know about Fred's guitar really well, you see.
I get it.
But most of us usually won't, unless we know we're really brainstorming for a prototype. Basically, we're talking about comparing it to something we both know. You know, can you do this? Remember that sound that you got in the so-and-so with the such-and-such guitar? That's what I'm hearing. Well, good, because I know how that was made, and, you know, we can get there. So it's a little bit more difficult, but usually helpful if there's a reference piece, you know, something they have played or seen, or maybe they're playing in your shop and go, I want one like this. Well, I would say take this one.
Yeah, Fred brings up a good point. Do you have musicians come to you and say, hey, Duane, make me this? Is that very typical?
It would like to think that it is, and it does happen rarely. But I'm personally at a phase in my career where I'm building what I want to build, and I offer them. Because, think about this. I don't want to compare myself to Picasso, but he didn't ask anybody whether they wanted anything. He had to build. He had to paint. He had to sculpt. And those things are real. Think about Van Gogh. Was Van Gogh waiting for someone to ask for a vase full of flowers?
Great point.
No, it was in him. He had to do it.
Early in his career, he would take on jobs to pay the rent,
right?
But after a certain amount of time, he just did what he wanted to do, and that's the stage of your career you're at.
Yeah, so basically where I'm at right now, I want to build instruments that I want to build. I'm building instruments in line over and over that are things that I want to build.
How long does it take you to build a guitar?
All guitar makers, acoustic guitar makers, use figures from 80 to 100 hours.
80 to 100 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, we have a little bit of house cleaning for the end of the show.
A little more?
Well, yeah. Our friends at Mayfield Florists
right.
have some beautiful roses to hand out. And the first person who calls 529-3508, 529-3508, and tells us what was the first guitar built in 1590, the name of that guitar, we'll get a dozen roses from Mayfield Florists.
All right. So finishing up the last couple minutes, Charlie, thanks a bunch. We really hope your show just, you know, is off the chart.
Well, we think it will be. It appeals to so many different people on so many different levels, and it's a unique view into a very intimate and wonderful art form.
And it's something that your average person, everybody knows someone that plays a guitar.
That's right. People can relate.
Absolutely. Everyone
Whether
can.
They play or not. I mean, I don't play, but I look at these instruments, and they're incredible.
And it's not just for people who love music.
No.
It's for
just
people
wonderful.
That. Exactly. And real quick, the guitar, you've got guitars that are locally made, local craftsmen, as well as
From all over the world.
So
both.
And go on iTunes or go to the
museum.
We'll
have the link. If you go to friendjeff.com, we'll have the link to the museum site where you can actually download all the music so you can take the walking tour of the exhibit.
Yes, exactly.
Perfect. And Duane, thanks a bunch. We really appreciate you coming on the show. Tell us, do you name your guitars?
No, some people do, but I don't. Fred and Jeff, you've done a great service here. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, yeah,
this exhibition is wonderful, and more people know about it.
And we do remind people that this Friday at the University of Arizona Museum of Art.
Where is the museum?
We're at the corner of Park and Speedway. We face into the university, so you have to go underneath Speedway in the underground walkway, and you come up on the other side, and we're right there.
And that underground walkway, that parking is right next to that 7-Eleven on the north
side
of the street.
That's
right.
That's it.
And so you park there, and you walk underneath.
Yeah, you park in the Park Avenue parking garage at the north east corner of Park and Speedway.
Is there a charge for that garage,
There is parking.
Okay.
Charge.
Okay, so charge.
But it's minimal.
But to get in, it's $5.
To get in is $5, yes.
Perfect. All right, guys.
And the opening is this Friday, so from, is it 5 to 7?
5 to 7.
Beautiful.
So you two guys are the reason that it's great to live in Southern Arizona. We really appreciate what you guys do. Good luck. And folks, get out and see this exhibit. I think you'll be very pleased. And Tucson, we'll see you again soon, and have a great evening.
Good evening, Tucson.
Happy Halloween.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
Hello, you're on the air.
AM 1330. KJLL, South Tucson.